So I'm excited for today because we're starting this new relationship series, right? And it's called One Another. And I have the honor to talk to you this week about harmony, being in harmony with one another and living in harmony. And that is not an easy thing. Who of you have ever experienced a difficulty or a problem with another person? If you did not put your hand up, won't you please come and join me upstairs, like up front, and tell us the secret, right? Because it's that difficult. It's people, everybody is so different. Everybody is so uniquely created that sometimes we just rub each other up in the wrong way, right? And it's bound to happen. It happens with your husband, your kids, with every person that probably in your life, at some point of time, if you've got a relationship with them, you're going to bump a bit of heads, right? So harmony, I am really excited about this because I have experienced a bit of things in my own life, like all of you have, and God has dealt with me about a few things, and I thought it fits absolutely perfect with what we're doing, and now my screen is not deciding to work with me. Sorry, give me a second. We're going to read a bit in the Bible today. There we go. And I want us to first look at, if you've got your Bibles, 1 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9, right? It says, now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness towards other believers. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Never retaliate when someone else treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you. But instead, respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God has promised you. That is a tall order, right? That is much easier to read than to actually do. That is a lot of things in there. There's a lot of food, a lot of chunks that we can go and bite on one by one, even just in that one scripture. And I ask God, this is heaps of information. Like, how do you break it down? How do I look deeper into it, especially with things in my own life? And then God said to me these words, stop fighting battles you were never intended to fight. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Stop fighting battles you were never intended to fight. Okay. And I started thinking about this. And then all of a sudden, all these situations in my life popped up, right? And then if those of you who know me really know, you'll know that I've got a fighting spirit. I care a lot about people. I want to help people. I'm a protector. I'm somebody that if injustice or something happens that's wrong, I want to go. I want to help them. I'm a fixer. I'm that person, right? So that gets me into trouble quite a bit of time, because then I'm always the one that wants to go fight the battles, right? And that gets me into a lot of trouble, as I'm sure it does most people, right? So before I look into the word, I want to tell you the story that actually happened in the last couple of months. I had a friend who felt, and I would like you to note the word that she felt. It's not to say this was the truth, right? She felt that she was undervalued, and she felt like she was not appreciated by somebody, and she felt hurt. And I heard her, and I saw the story through her eyes. So there I was, right? Nobody puts baby in a corner, you know, just like they do in what's the movie? Dirty Dancing, right? Nobody puts baby in a corner. Come, I'm going to fight for you. So I went over, but I didn't fight, but with the nicest grace and kind heart, I spoke to someone. I said, you know, this is happening. This is not nice. I used all the techniques that we learn in God's space. I wonder if we did this, could we not? How do you see this? And it was a very good conversation, very natural conversation. Nothing, there was no fighting. And I walked away and I thought, oh, I'm going to feel like a winner. I've got this, man. I just, I fixed this. And instead, I walked away and I felt ashamed. And I felt like I did something very wrong. And I couldn't understand why. And as I walked away, I said to God, why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling like this was a bad thing? And he said to me, this battle was never yours to fight. I did the right thing, what I thought was right. I didn't sin at all. I dealt with everything very nicely. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't my battle to fight. And I cried. And instead of being an overcomer, for the rest of the day, oh man, I was a mess. There was an extra dose of humility right there served to me. And I said to Lord, to God, how do we know how to live in harmony? Because great, I stepped out of the situation and everything looked harmonious, right? And everything looked perfect, but spiritually it wasn't. Spiritually there was still turmoil. Everything was not in harmony because I entered a battlefield I was never supposed to enter. And I got hurt. And I was the outsider of everything. Both parties were perfectly fine, and I got away wounded just because I was in the wrong place. I got hit. So I would like us to turn to 1 Samuel 4. And as I read this, I'm going to stop every now and then. I'm going to talk to you about it, right? It says, when the soldiers returned to camp, before we start, a little bit of background. So what happened here is that Israel was fighting the Philistines and they lost the battle, right? So yeah, they were coming back from that. So when the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies. I want you to note here, at no point did the priest hear from God and say, God says, let's send the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant with. No, no, no. The elders decided, let's make a plan. We're going to do this, right? So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubims. And Eli's two sons, and excuse the pronunciation, I have listened to this online multiple times, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Now, this shows you how aligned they thought they were with God and what they were doing. This shows you, the plan they made, they believed in it. The whole city believed in it. The whole tribe believed in it. They shouted so loud that the whole ground began to shake. That's how much they believed in it. Just like I believed, I'm going because nobody puts baby in a corner. I'm going to say that I believed in it. I believed it was the right thing to do, right? Just like that, they believed. And the ground shook. It goes on saying, hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, what is all this shouting in the Hebrew camp? When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. When they learned that the Ark of the Lord came into the camp, they said, we are doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 6,000 foot soldiers. It didn't say what the total amount of all the soldiers were, just the foot soldiers were 30,000. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. You see, it was never a godly plan to take the Ark of the Covenant with. Because just here, again, they stepped into a battlefield. They had a whole plan, but it wasn't a godly plan. They stepped into a fight. They were never intended to fight. Were their plans even aligned with God? They were defeated. And what was the consequences? The consequences of this was there was a tribe. They lost 30,000 foot soldiers, plus the priest's two sons passed away. They died. So the word after that, we're not going to read all of it, but the word came back to the Hebrews, and the whole town wept. It was very bad. Can you imagine all the families who lost their husbands, their fathers, their uncles? And Eli, the priest, said, "What's going on? What's happening?" So when the guy told him, "Actually, you know, your two sons died and they stole the Ark of the Covenant," when he heard those words, he fell backwards, he broke his neck and died on the spot. Then when his daughter-in-law, I think it was Phinehas' wife, it might be the other brother, but one of them, the daughter-in-law, she found out as well that her husband just passed. She was very far along pregnant. She was going to give birth soon. She went into labor the moment she found out the Ark of the Covenant was stolen as well. And she died during childbirth. So there's consequences, right, to our actions. If we enter a battle that we were never intended to fight, there's massive consequences that this whole tribe had to carry. And I keep thinking to myself when I read this, I wonder if that decision was worth it for them. The loss was so great. I wonder if that decision was worth it for them. And then I want us to continue reading in 1 Samuel 7, verse 3. So it's just a little bit further on. And this is now where Samuel actually hears from God, and they're going to go and get the ark back, right? So Samuel said to all the Israelites, "If you're returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites, right, put all their put their bowls and their Ashtoreths and serve the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On the day they fasted, and they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as the leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God, that He may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord's thunder struck so loud against the Philistines that it threw them into such a panic that they were rooted before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So as God shared this with me, He said, if you want to live in harmony with people, that is a recipe. And I thought, okay, God, let's just read this again, because I don't understand it. He said, They went into the battle, but they went there with God's approval. They entered the battlefield with God's approval. But then they did certain things. And I went and I looked at it, right? So the first thing they did is they made sure they had no foreign idols. That could be massive things. It could be other religions, or it could be money, appearances, pride. Could be your character. Make sure you have none of those things in your heart. It might be that you are judgmental towards others. And then the second thing they did is they asked Samuel to intercede for them with God. So what does that mean? Before you react, before I went over to take the battle and to see what's going on, I should have consulted God. I should have said, God, is this something you want me to enter? Is this something you want me to do here? I should have asked God for his advice and say, God, what do you want? I should have been praising. I should have been worshiping. I should have been seeking his face. God, reveal to me, what do you want? Instead of running to the battlefield, instead of running to fix things, God, what do you want? And then they poured water out before the Lord. And I thought, what on earth could that resemble? They poured water out before the Lord. And God said to me, water is purity. They exposed all of their feelings to God. They opened up their hearts. That's what we should be doing. Opening up our hearts. Exposing our innermost being. Even if we think this, what is happening is unjust. Even if we think they are wrong and we are right. Even if we think the situation is so bad, and I am righteous in this situation. I have no fault in the situation. To say, okay, God, I'm going to open my heart. Is there a place where there might be some pride in here? Is there a place where I feel rejected? To become vulnerable in front of God. To even open up the ugly parts in front of him. So Samuel served as the judge against Israel. And I said to God, your word says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who live in Christ. So how does this fit in? And he said, it's when you look honestly at yourself. So we open up ourselves. We become pure before God. We open up our hearts and then we say, okay, actually, yes, God, you are right. I have some pride issues. Yes, God, I am self-righteous. Yes, God, I feel rejected. Yes, God, I feel humiliated. That's actually what it's about. I feel undervalued. And it's not to judge yourself. It is to allow yourself to open up so God can enter into the situation. How many of you have heard Pastor Allen speak here in the front, and he always says, go pray. If somebody does you wrong, go pray about it for 40 days. Go pray about it. I've done it. You know, the prayer starts like this. Dear Lord, I cannot take this person. Dear Lord, they did this. Dear Lord, and the next day, dear Lord, I'm still so upset. This is so unfair. And then the third day comes. Dear Lord, I'm actually just heartbroken. And then the next day, hi Lord, again about this. I just want you to heal me. I don't want to feel this. And as the days goes on, the focus from the person or the situation or the circumstances change and it shifts. And before you find yourself, you pray for yourself about the stuff you did wrong, about your heart. And not about the other person. But then God changes you. Right? And that's what this is about. So many times we stand in conflict and we stand in these situations that really, it's hardcore stuff. And we feel like, well, they're in my face. I can't just do nothing. I can't now say, okay, please hold on. Just keep that thought. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Here's my heart. And they stand and they wait for you. No, we can't. But you know what you can do? You can say, I hear you. I hear you. I'm going to go pray about this. I'll get back to you. And then you go and you follow these steps, right? I love how God makes us applicable to everything, right? It's so good. So, next they came and the Hebrews felt fear when they heard that the Philistines were coming up against them. Why? Fear because of all the past failures they've had where they were defeated by the Philistines. And that's something that God says, you're going to have to battle fear. You're going to have to fight fear. Because you know what the devil does? He comes and he calls you by your past. But you know what God does? He comes and he calls you by your future. But the devil will bring your past up all the time. He'll say, remember that? Remember when you did this so wrong? Remember when you dealt with that situation so horribly? Remember when this nipped you in the butt? All the time, that's what he brings. And it makes you insecure. It pops up and says, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can deal with this right. I don't know if I can face this. And all the fear comes in. And God says, be weary of the fear. Don't focus. The devil's trying to get you to focus on the past. But God says, look at the future. Focus on the future. Forget that. The mistakes you made has been washed clean. That is why my blood has been shed. If the devil can, he'll keep you focused on that because that means you are his winning. The more you focus on the past, the bigger the past becomes. But the more you focus on the future, the more you will be moving towards the future and the further away you become from your past. You come from your past, right? And then they said to Samuel, cry out to God for him to rescue us. Now, they said that in the beginning as well, but yeah, they repeated it. And it's obviously, it comes from that fear, but what it says to me is, don't stop interceding. When you go fight these giants, whatever it is in your life, don't stop interceding. At no point can you say, okay, I've got this. No, you've got to keep seeking God constantly, getting his guidance constantly. And there's a massive reason for this. We're going to see that a little bit later. So the next thing they did is they made a sacrifice, a burnt offering. And this is where you come and you say, God, I'm sacrificing my pride. Yes, I'm sacrificing the humility that I felt I experienced. I'm sacrificing the hurt. I'm sacrificing the rejection. I'm sacrificing the offense. I'm putting it aside, Lord. I lay it down for you. I will leave it. I will not cling to this. I will leave it there so that you can work with me here and with the situation. God cannot move that out of our lives when we cling to it for dear life. God cannot come if you hold something like this. He will never force your fingers open. He's the perfect gentleman. He waits for you to be ready to go like this. But we need to let go. And you've got to be brave to do it. It's not a nice process. This was not a nice process for them. This was a hard process. You see, the moment we become less and we sacrifice those things, then God becomes more. Then he takes over the situation. And I can see him. I can see him flooding in. Water's just flooding and flooding in and filling up a room. And he takes his righteous place. And what happens then is he goes before you. And this is why it's important that you keep interceding and seeking God's word and seeking God's face for every situation that you have in your life that is difficult, battles that you've got. It's because then he goes before you and he moves. And in this instance, he caused massive confusion in the Israelites. They couldn't tell left from right. And they defeated them. And that's exactly how God goes. He goes and he sorts out a situation before you. He moves on your behalf. But you need to leave the stuff behind so he can actually enter in the situation and sort it out. It actually says it derooted them. And I thought, that's an interesting word. And I read all the translations and they were just confused, right? But I love the word derooted them. Because what happens when you deroot something? It's not going to grow back. And all the roots are exposed. Everything that's underground, that's going on in the darkness, under the water, is exposed. And truth comes out. So even if you feel you're in a situation where it's injustice is happening, you're in a battlefield where somebody is coming at you and they are wrong, and you might feel like you are right, and maybe you are right, maybe you're wrong. It doesn't even matter. It matters that God will come and He will reveal everything. Isn't that mercy? It's mercy that He goes before you. He does the legwork for you. That's how much He cares about you. That's how much He loves you. All you have to do is just seek His face, follow His word, and make sure that you give your everything. And then they did the part that I like the most. They put up a stone and they named the place. And we need to testify. That's what it's about. Why do they do that? They do that because every time some guy on a donkey comes past to the next town, galloping, they're like, oh, what is this? And they read what says on the stone. And they come to town and they say, oh, I read this on the stone outside. What does that mean? And then they tell the story of how the Philistines were confused and how they were derooted and how God intervened and how they won and how they got the Ark of the Covenant back. And that is what a testimony is. A testimony is when we go back and we say, God did this for me. God changed this for me. See, the moment we don't share the testimony that we get, the moment we decide, that's a little bit embarrassing. I'm not going to tell people I went through this because maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was prideful. Maybe I took offense. And then I'm going to have to tell that to people. The moment we do that, we deprive God from His glory and the honor of what He has done for you. And that is why it's so important. Because when you share your testimony and somebody hears it, it's like, oh, I actually went through this. Maybe God can do the same for me. Maybe I need to deal with things differently so I can get better results. Maybe God will care enough about me too to help me to solve the issues in my life. The power of a testimony is so incredible. And for me, that's almost the most important part here. The moment we don't testify about it, we take away God's glory. So I've got this message about 2, 3, 4 weeks already, and I've just been living on it, and God's been giving me many situations and many battles to just make sure that I understand this word fully. And one of the things that I said to God, I feel like this is not it. It's lacking something. And God, for the past week and a half, God has been taking me back to Proverbs. And He's been sharing with me about wisdom. And I thought, that's the missing key. That's the missing part, is wisdom. And I want to read to you Proverbs 2, verse 6. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. For He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. And if you read this and you keep in mind situations which is not in harmony, battles that is raging in front of you, storms in your life, then there's so much in this as well. You see, instead of reacting to a situation, the first thing we need to do is take a step back and say, I need to get some understanding about this. What is going on in the other person's life? How do they see it? What are their intentions? You see, the moment we do that and we try to get an understanding, then we gain knowledge of the situation. We gain knowledge of their worldview. We gain knowledge of where they are. We gain knowledge about the battle. And the scripture here says, discretion will protect you. See, so instead of running and blabbering everything out and trying to sort everything out and going into this battle, whatever your battle is, but to stand back and not to talk to everybody about it. See, but to go talk to God, just what we read. To take it to God and not to the people. Because you see, when you take it to people, then their understanding and their knowledge, which is not necessarily correct, forms part of your understanding and your knowledge of the situation and the battle. And there everything is murky again. Everything is unclear again. And we can't see the truth. To live in harmony with one another. I always say to people, to deal with people is an art. But to live in harmony with people is also an art. But there's a recipe. And if we take the patience and we take a step back to deal with it according to how God shows us in the Bible, man, imagine how much easier our life could be, right? When we just do what God wants us to do. There's something in it when you go to God and not to people continuously. I find that sometimes really hard. The first thing I want to do is I want to pick up the phone. I want to phone Will. That's my number one. No, it should be God. He can wait until he gets home in the afternoon, right? Yeah, there we go. Stop bothering me at work, wife. Yeah, there we go. Right? That's how it should be. But it's hard, especially if you've dealt with things in a certain way for your entire life. To change those thought patterns, it's difficult. I've seen with my children that we're at a stage where there's one or two things we want to change now in our life, in our family structure. The only way I can do it is I have to write it on a piece of paper, and I want to put it up in every single room of our house. So when they do that one thing, I look up and I read that. So I, okay, calm down, breathe. Don't react. Because if I don't read it in every room in the house, I will forget that it's in the kitchen and I will not be practicing it. But if I see it in every room of the house where I am with children, then I enforce it. And that's why God says the word has to be written in our hearts. That it's with you always. Wherever you go, you can tap into it. So we deal with stuff correctly, right? Why don't you all stand in the bank and come forward and I'll pray for us. God, I come to you. Lord, we have so many battles that we are fighting. We have so many battlefields in front of us. Some of them are from you. Some of them we have to be courageous like David and step in with a slingshot. And we've got to take it on by your command. But some of them we just need to stay away from. God, I ask that you will show every person here today a battlefield that's in front of them. A battlefield they should not be entering. I ask that you will give them clarity, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, Lord, that they can react in the way that you intend us to react, Lord. I ask that you will help us, Father, to show us the things in our hearts that are not of you, the things that we are struggling with, the things that you might want to actually try and reveal to us. Because, Lord, we're not perfect. And some of us, we have heart issues. We might take offense. We might be prideful. We might be prone to lean towards rejection when no rejection was even intended. And maybe you want to show us that. And I ask, Lord God, that you will just shed your light on us, on the most inner parts of our hearts. Right now, Jesus, reveal to us. And thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you are willing to go in front of us and to prepare the way for us. Thank you that you are willing to go and do the legwork for us. I ask, Father, that you will make every person here brave. Brave enough to not return to our old ways, but courageous enough to take on new paths, new ways, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. So I just want to, if you'd bear with me for another couple of minutes, I just love to share a testimony that fits in so beautiful. Yeah, you can have a seat. You can have a seat. It's not going to take that long, but have a seat nonetheless so you don't have to, I don't keep you standing. But I just want to, share with you guys something that I've been battling the last 3 years. So I got a job in this awesome, stunning country. I get here, the euphoria was amazing, and I get to the office, and I'm introduced to my new supervisor at work, and oh my gosh. Man, what a test and trial in my life. This guy, he is something else. Like, he goes out of his way to make things difficult, right? And everything that he does it in such a way that it'll infuriate you and belittle you. And he's just, it felt to me like he's been sent to punish me, right, for all the past sins of my life. That's what I felt like under this guy. But from the very start, I knew that this is not a battle I need to fight. So every time I'd go home and I'd say, Lord, I'm praying about this situation. I'm praying. I'd say, Lord, you know, help me. Lord, I forgive him. Lord, I pray for blessing on his life, you know, because that's what the Bible teaches us to do, right? And every day Nicole has to hear about it, you know, and she's so sick of it. She's like, oh, come on, I don't want to hear about that again. But every day I have to go back, you know. Oh, I sometimes feel that that's what she feels, you know, because how many of us know that when you have something like that or someone that's like plaguing your life almost like that, that's what you talk about? And I had to pray about this for the last 3 years, and I had to pray about it every day. I had to forgive every day. Man, you have such a good day until you get to the office and you have an encounter with this guy, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I have to go and repent. You have all these thoughts in your mind. You know, you're so angry, right? So, but what I want to testify is over this 3 years, practicing what Nicole has preached about today, right? Going and praying about it, not just hitting the situation head on. No, because God didn't at one time lead me to hit the situation head on. I'm going to pray about it. I have gradually changed across the 3 years. And across the 3 years, I have increased in love. I have increased in joy and peace and patience. All of those things has grown in me. I have increased in kindness, goodness, and faithfulness and gentleness. I have increased in self-control. And now looking back at the past 3 years, I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord, for this person that you've sent across my life. Because whereas I've previously viewed him like a plague, like a punishment, I now say thank you for this person. Thank you, Lord, that you've sent him across my way. And finally, when I've reached the position of forgiveness and humility, right, where I've reached the space where I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. And I started loving the person through everything that I see and through this brick wall that he puts up. I started loving him through it. Is that God revealed something to me about his past. And I felt empathy flush through my heart. After 3 years of walking a road of forgiveness, after 3 years of almost despising him every day, having to ask God's forgiveness for those feelings in my heart, God turns it all around. And I have a deep, deep-seated empathy for this man. I no longer pray about forgiveness that I have to achieve for my heart, but I pray for him to meet Christ. I pray that he comes in touch with my Lord and Savior, that he knows and that he's healed like I am healed. See, the prayer has changed through my development. We always fixate on other people, right? We always fixate on other people and say, they need to change. But that's not true. Most of the times, I'd always be so brave to say that all the times it's almost us that needs to change and needs to develop in some way.